Well, good morning. It is Thursday, and that means it's time once again for Perspectives on WFSU-FM. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we invite you to also call in and or email or tweet or however you want to communicate with the folks that are gathered around this table today. I'm Tom Flanagan, and thanks again for joining us. Before we kick off, a reminder here that the number is 414-1234 locally. If it is long distance from you to Florida's capital city, we got you covered there too, 800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, and the Twitter handle, if you prefer to communicate that way, is at WFSU Perspective. Here is a stat that I still is stunning to me. More than 50%, more than half of the school kids in Florida and also in the area around Florida's capital city are on the reduced or no-cost breakfast and lunch program. We think of ourselves as being a educated and an affluent area comparatively, but a lot of kids qualify for this program. An awful lot of families don't really have enough to eat, and we kind of have to help feed the gap. Now, what happens in the summer when school is out? That means that breakfast and lunch is a no-go for thousands and thousands of kids. So we wonder then, what do they do? Do they go hungry the entire day and until mom and or dad gets home, or what happens? There is good news here, because there are programs that are up and running right now to meet that need. And so we put together really a blue ribbon panel of folks to talk about those programs. We have two that we're going to be focusing on in the course of today's Perspectives. One is the full summer program, and another is a kind of modified Wheels on Wheels, if you could, that is put together by Holt Child Leon. So let's go around the table. We'll meet these guys, and then we'll find out exactly how these programs work and even how all of us can get involved with them here. So, okay, I'll start on my left. That's your right if you're looking at the radio here. We'll begin with Dr. Bill Scheel. He's pastor of First Baptist Church in Tallahassee, the big church downtown. Good to see you, Bill.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be with you today.
We got a couple folks here from Second Harvest of the Big Bend. We've got Rachel Muller, who's nutrition and program director of Second Harvest.
Hi, Tom.
Good to see you again, Rachel. And the big boss guy of Second Harvest of the Big Bend, Rich English. Always good to see you.
Good morning, Tom. Always a pleasure to be here.
And about 1 year ago, we had this guy in with us, Scott Pinnell. He's CEO of Hope to the Hungry and also Hope to Haiti, who started this full summer program that we're going to be talking about. So good to see you, man.
Good to be back. Thank you so much for allowing us to come on.
And another old and dear friend, Courtney Atkins, who heads up Whole Child Leon. Always a pleasure to see you, Courtney.
You too, Tom. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's start off with your mobile program then, because this is apologies here to, you know, Elder Care Services, but that whole Meals on Wheels concept. Whole Child Leon now is actually getting food out to lower-income kids, right?
Well, we're really just a smaller partner at Second Harvest that's doing that. But thanks to the generosity of Leon County Schools and the Foundation for Leon County Schools, we were able to have an old school bus had been out to pasture, so to speak, donated to Second Harvest. Second Harvest had a grant to get the bus kitted out, as you say, so kids could eat on the bus, and we have all we need to have safe and clean food. And Whole Child's role is we're just taking advantage of getting into these hard-to-reach neighborhoods and providing some nutrition education, some personal hygiene stuff. We're just really going to see, try to meet the needs of the children that we come across in these different and difficult neighborhoods to reach.
So instead of like the Mr. Softy truck, this is, you know, the big school bus comes along and the kids have wholesome, healthy food on there.
That's right. And Rachel and I spent some time all over Leon County, and boy, did we find some neighborhoods that lots of your listeners probably don't even know are out there.
Well,
I didn't anyway.
Well, let's talk about that. Rachel Muller, if you can, how we said more than half. How big is this problem here?
It is quite a large problem, and I honestly didn't know how bad it was until I started working for the food bank and diving into some of those statistics just right here in our own backyard. So one of my roles at the food bank is to implement child nutrition programs, and we do three of them. And this mobile feeding unit is going to take us to a whole new level. We're going to be able to reach these kids that aren't within walking distance to normal brick-and-mortar sites. So the mobile feeding bus is essentially going to bring the food to them. And also out in those rural areas that that definitely don't have any access to a brick and mortar site. So right now we have about 12 sites, which is a little ambitious, I think, but we're going to do it.
Okay, is this every day now you're making these rounds?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, I did a bus route, which it was a first for me, so I'm hoping that I timed it right, but we'll do about 6 or 7 stops every day, spread out throughout Leon County. We're going to pilot it first here, right here in Leon County.
Boy, if Ivan over at Star Metro is listening to that, gee, maybe he can even recruit you to help out. You know,
I welcome him to help me.
Rich English, this whole thing, this sounds so familiar as far as, you know, meeting a need. You and I have been talking about this for, my gosh, how long now that, whether it's the fisher folk down in Apalachicola or whatever, there's this huge need. But in summertime with all these kids, you're talking about thousands and thousands of people who need food.
Yes, correct. You know, Feeding America's recent Map the Meal Gap study revealed that the national food insecurity rate is 15.9%. The state of Florida's food insecurity rate is 17.9%. And we're talking about children. The national child food insecurity rate is 21.6%. Excuse me. The state of Florida's child food insecurity rate is 25.5%. So, you know, we're already looking at numbers just in our state alone that are higher than the national percentages. There are a lot of children out there who are food insecure.
Well, it almost sounds like a third world situation. And Scott Bunnell, that's where you come in, man. If anybody knows how bad things can be, you're the guy.
Yeah, we've been working in Haiti for about 7.5 years now. And orphanages, clean water. We have about 4,000 kids a day we feed through a network of schools in Haiti. And kind of our Hope to the Hungry effort came because when I was sharing our work in Haiti, I would get questions like, what about starving kids in America? And I go, well, there's no starving kids in America. There's a lot of hungry kids in America. And food insecurity is certainly a problem in our nation. And so we partnered with the outreach programs. A friend of mine from Iowa that's been doing meal packing events for a number of years. They have packaged over 300 million meals since they've began. And in our efforts, we've done almost 1 million.
Now, where does this food come from?
We buy in bulk. I mean, silos and trainloads of rice and beans and soy, vegetable packs. On the day of the event, we actually will put up assembly lines of 10 people that will then put the ingredients into a bag that is then weighed and sealed and boxed and dated. We've had a nutritionist design the meals. They're approved by the FDA if they can be used in schools. It's low sodium content, but they're very nutritious. And the funny thing is, when I take people to Haiti, we'll eat these meals, because we've got another network that distributes them in Haiti. Now, all the meals that I do with Hope to the Hungry stay right here in Leon County. I don't export any food into Haiti. We have a whole other system for how we do our feeding programs in Haiti. So I want people to not be confused with, well, this is the Haiti guy trying to, you know, help us package food and move there. No, this is for our local community. This is for Leon County. This goes to Rich English and the Food Bank and the Feeding America program across the United States.
Because last year, during the inaugural rollout of the full summer program, mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like, well, it was down at St. John's Episcopal Church last year. The church hall was like an assembly line.
Right.
It looked like a major, you know, food production.
Right.
Like, with people dressed. How many did you crank out last year?
We did 40,000 last year. We could have done more. We're limited by space. This year we're at Lincoln High School. We have over 250 volunteers coming, and we'll do 50,000 meals. We've done 100,000 meal events in the past. We've done 1 million meal event in the past in South Florida. So we're really just – the only limitations we have are size and the budget of people that want to help make it happen. The meals are 25 cents a piece, to give you perspective. So for 25 cents, we can prepare a meal for a family.
You can't get a pack of gum for 25 cents.
Right. Well, it's like gasoline, this volume, volume, volume. You know, the more we buy, the more we can buy it at discount, reduced rates. And then again, this is not a for-profit event. We're not making any money on this. We're breaking even on the event. This is not a fundraiser because we want to address the needs in our local community of hunger.
Okay, but I would imagine there is some need for some volunteers, some people power to put all this stuff together.
Oh, always. I mean, to have this event, we had one last year with full summer. We could do these every month, every quarter. It's no problem. We have the mechanism in place to roll in the truck with all the supplies and the ingredients and the scales. But we need volunteers, and we need you know, financial participation as well.
Okay, well, we're going to get some more information out about that. Dr. Bill Shee, how does First Baptist Church of Tallahassee fit into all this stuff here?
Well, Tom, the reason we're involved in this is because we love Tallahassee, and that has to be matched not only with words but also with deeds. It's one thing to say that about your community, that you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. But people hear that all the time from various faith organizations and churches. But this is a way for us to put feet to our faith, for us to share through our lives what really the gospel means to us. And we do this not just by ourselves, but also in a great partnership with our good friends in the neighborhood, St. John's Episcopal Church. We are so grateful for their congregation and for the work that we can share in partnership downtown, but then also that we can extend that opportunity into our community. We are already involved at Sable Palm Elementary School mentoring and caring for children, where 100% of those children are on a free or reduced lunch or breakfast program. So the reality is we have gotten a chance to serve and love these children and their families all year, just a small slice of that population. So this is our way not only to help feed the hungry, but then also give the hungry a chance to feed themselves. The wonderful thing about Scott's program is the beans and the rice and the bags and the meals are almost an empowerment. Instead of just opening up a food truck and saying, come and get, we're actually giving these families an opportunity to be involved in the process. They can actually prepare the meals themselves. The other side of that, too, though, is the wonderful multi-generational partnership that happens across ages and spectrums. You know, how often do you get to do a mission trip in your local community for your local community where parents and children and grandparents can all come together and bag and serve and know that it's going to stay right here? You know, churches are great about flying all over the world and digging wells and caring for orphans and doing the things that make life so powerful. But what would happen if we took all of that energy and harnessed it for the people within a 30-mile radius? And that's what's so exciting about the partnership here with the folks at Hope for Haiti, as well as with Second Harvest and with Whole Child Leon. We're actually taking the good news and sharing some good deeds to create a common good for our community.
Why do I have a feeling that there's lots of room for other faith communities to kind of kick in here too, huh?
Well, let me say this. There is so much already happening in the faith community that most of us have no idea what's going on. I mean, we're just a small part of this. But I'll tell you, all of us know what it's like to serve and care for the hungry. And all of us have oftentimes experienced that ourselves. So certainly, this is something that all faith communities can be a part of it, and we welcome them.
Hungry Summertime, what we're talking about here on Perspectives, 414-123-4800-926-8809. Your comments are welcome as always. We'll be right back. You know, you mentioned food around the summertime, and a lot of people will be thinking about, oh, the backyard barbecue, and you're rolling out the burgers and the hot dogs, or you're going out on a picnic of some kind, and there is just this wonderful abundance of yummy things. But for so many households, that isn't reality. It doesn't work that way. And it's something that we all need to be aware of, because there are programs that we can kick into, each and every one of us, to alleviate that kind of situation right here in our own community, not thousands of miles away or halfway around the world, but right here in Leon and surrounding counties. So that's what we're talking about here on Perspectives today with Dr. Bill Scheel, pastor of First Baptist Church, and Scott Bunnell with the Hope to the Hungry and Hope to Haiti program. Rich English and Rachel Moeller, both from Second Harvest of the Big Band, and Courtney Atkins from Whole Child Leon here with us on Perspectives. We'd mentioned going into the break, folks, with this program coming up here in a little bit, where there will be the packaging and distribution of staples to low-income neighborhoods here in the area, that you know, volunteers might be needed. But I understand now from Laurie back in the back in the booth there that, hey, they are full up with volunteers for that. So the production line's taken care of, but that doesn't mean people still can't get involved, right? Courtney, what does Whole Child Leon need as far as people and resources and stuff right now?
I think we're pretty covered with our volunteers who are graduate students from FSU and FAMU, and even we have a couple high school students that will be volunteering on the bus to provide some of the nutrition education and different kind of theme weeks we have. However, we are looking for books. We're looking for clothes. We're looking gently used. We're looking for maybe toiletry items. You know, this is a pilot, and Rachel and I have been around these neighborhoods, but we're not sure what the need's going to be. We've talked a lot to school. The registrars at schools are a wealth of knowledge. So we've done some good research on what it looks like in some of these areas, but we're really just going to have to be flexible. We'd like to see this food on the move and more bus, to have books, to have clothes if folks need it, to have access to health insurance application assistance if we come across parents we can do some follow-up, toothbrushes and toiletries. That's the kind of thing we're looking at.
Just basic household needs,
that's
it sounds
right.
like.
That's right.
Okay. Scott Bunnell, as far as your program, again, aside from what's going on right here, if you can't help with your hands, you can help with the pocketbook, right?
Absolutely. Again, these meals are 25 cents a piece. And in the past, we'd ask people to come, pay $50, which would cover the cost of 200 meals, and give us an hour and a half of their time. So a little bit of money, a little bit of time, and we can do this. And again, we're designed that we've done this the last 2 years, but we could do it twice a year. We do it three times a year, four times a year, if we would just have somebody that, you know, we get their civic club or church or whatever organization they're involved with to say, we want to do this. We'll roll out to them everything that they need to make it happen. We'll get volunteers registered, raise the money, and then the day of the event, we'll roll it out, do it, and benefit Second Harvest. So it's always somebody like a Lori that attended the event and says, you know, we want to do this again.
Okay. And Rich, as far as that multiplier effect there, you guys always get the 50-year-old canned goods and that sort of thing that you go, oh, gosh, we love you guys, but we can't use this stuff. But the money is always welcome.
Yeah, you're right, Tom. You know, Scott talked earlier about packaging 40,000 meals last year. Well, they also raised enough extra money to give that money to Second Harvest, and we in turn turned that into 16,000 more meals. So, you know, as we always talk about, we're able to turn $1 into four meals. And that's based on how we're able to secure both free food donations and reduced cost donations through our Feeding America network and our local donors.
Yeah, the type of, just like with Scott, the huge resources that are available in bulk at giant discounts, which you have access to, that the average person doesn't. That multiplier is incredible. Let's see. As a matter of fact, Laurie is just typing away like crazy here on the screen, and she says people may donate to a full summer at www.saint-john.org and click on the full summer icon. As she puts out, it costs a total of $12,500 for the meals, and anything raised over that goes to Second Harvest. So this is one of these, again, programs that just expands like that, ripples that come off of the pebble in the pond. Rachel Muller, since you were out there and about and checking out the needs in some of these neighborhoods, I would imagine that gives you a really great insight into what some of these other needs are and how maybe to connect other resources in the community with these children and families out there.
Sure. I actually have to give credit to Courtney for that, because she is plugged into those other resources. I think our expertise is with the food, certainly, and I'm excited to learn from her how we can plug these folks into other resources. But for our role, we are definitely going to supply them with a five-component meal, whether it be lunch or supper. And this is just the first project for Food on the Move, which I'm glad she mentioned the name of the vehicle. I failed to do so. It is Food on the Move. It's being renovated as we speak and will be wrapped and out on the road on June 9th. So this will be the first activity for Food on the Move, and we're excited to see what other projects that Food on the Move is going to take on.
Okay. What color is this school bus, by the way?
We painted it white. We want folks to know that this is the food, well, I say food wagon, but this is Food on the Move coming, and it's got food on it. So we want it to be friendly and approachable, and we want folks to just come up and take advantage of the meals.
You got bells on it?
I think we're going to have a little outside speaker and music and roll into these neighborhoods and get kids excited.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, just like the old Mr. Softy truck. I really like that. And Dr. Bill Shea, why do I keep having a flashback here to a visual image of loaves and fishes?
Well, it is amazing how a community can take just a little bit of material and multiply it, and it goes a long way because of the faithfulness of people. It's a great story about a miracle that Jesus performed, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and just what little bit that we can bring. And you think about a quarter a meal that can provide food for the hungry. And, you know, just if you go down to the local grocery store today, if you just take that extra quarter or dollar, it's something that even a child can do as they leave school. My wife and I are involved at Raw Middle School, and we have a backpack program that Second Harvest has helped instigate in many other schools in the area. And, you know, we have to really do our best to connect faces to the need. And when we pack those backpacks and when we're involved in putting those canned goods and sending them home with children who are our children's ages, and when we send them out the doors and on the bus and know that over the weekend that's the food that that family is going to eat, it really changes your perspective. Well, you know, the events like a full summer, when we give and when we share and when we go, it helps us to put a face to the need. In order to be a community, it takes more than just simply slogans and good wishes and good ideas and parties downtown. All of those are great for goodwill, but it takes good deeds, putting hands and feet to our passion and really beginning to share with others.
Yeah, that one-on-one connection, which is the critical part of this. It's not just some anonymous, as you said, need that is out there. These are real people.
I mean, these are the people that you pass in the parks and that you see in the grocery stores. They are people like me and you. Many times we might even say, but for the grace of God go I, but the reality is, many of us have experienced that kind of grace in our lives and the mercy that it takes. These are folks who have jobs. These are folks that go out every day and maybe sometimes work 2 or 3 jobs, that while our kids are swimming at the pool in the summer, mom and dad and grandparents and others are trying to move them around the community and make sure that they have a roof over their heads and trying to make ends meet. So this is not a hand out. This is not even a hand up. This is a hand across the community to say, we need to join hands and make this world a better place, and why not start right here within our local community and show them that we really love Tallahassee.
Okay, Courtney Atkins, with the Food on the Move program, you had mentioned something earlier about education and outreach to families and trying to provide more than just, oh, okay, kid, here's some clothes, here's some food, see you, bye.
That's right. You know, we know that these kids, a lot of times in the summer, because of transportation issues or parents working, they're not out in schools or camps or programs. And if we can use this bus while kids are there in a captive audience eating a meal to talk about the importance of oral, taking care of your teeth. We like the 95210 health and wellness message because it's so simple and it's across the lifespan. So talk about, why is sleep important? Why do you need 5 servings of fruits and vegetables? And how can we get those if we don't have them coming in the door every day? Can we garden? We envision that we're going to have maybe guest speakers on our, you know, weekly on our bus. We'll have some themes. But we, again, have to see who our audience is. You know, we can feed anyone from 2 years old to 18, I believe, Rachel. And so we have to be ready to have some, and we won't have them long. So how can we make the biggest, you know, impact? I think we're going to make sure that we have something kind of for everyone, at least the younger kids, the middle school kids, and the high school kids.
That's been such a big challenge in the past because people try to put together programs. And all, well, like the school district has this great back-to-school initiative, and the city of Tallahassee and a whole bunch of other organizations kick in on this too, where all the children come together and there's music and prizes and fun things of that sort. But they have to get there. And here you're taking these kinds of things right to their door, literally.
That's right. And other than the city of Tallahassee's Neighborhood Reach Project, that is really about utility, effective, keeping your house as efficient as you can with utilities and energy, there's no one that can go door to door. This is, we know we need that. We have to go to the people that have difficulty with transportation or knowing what's out there. So to partner with Second Harvest on this bus and for them to allow us to have a piece of this, we are so excited. And yeah, the sky's the limit, right, Rachel?
Yes, Courtney. We couldn't do it without her either. She's being very humble. It is quite a large project to take on, and like I said earlier, we are very ambitious, taking on, you know, 12 sites, but she has been so wonderful in getting the interns together, and we're getting all trained. This summertime, this is actually the Summer Food Service Program sponsored by Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, and we're a sponsor for them for the brick-and-mortar sites. But this is just an extension of that program on a mobile bus. So it'll be the same rules, just on wheels.
If you're just joining us on Perspectives, we're talking about hunger in the summer for nearly 50% of really public school kids in Florida and even here in the Capital Region, who once school lets out for the summer, they don't have access to that reduced or no-cost breakfast and lunch program, and it really puts a stress on the family. How to keep the food going without fostering dependency and these sorts of things is kind of what we're talking about here on Perspectives. And you can connect with the conversation at 414-1234. If it's long distance, it's 800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email. If you want to tweet, that is fine too. At WFSU Perspective, singular, is the Twitter handle. Full summer coming up, the community event to help feed local kids during the summer months, which it will be Saturday, June 7th, hosted by Lincoln High School. And they got plenty of volunteers. It will be a production line cranking out thousands and thousands upon meals for these kids. But you can also connect to the program by logging on to www.saint-john.org. And there's also a number for more information. But we know phone numbers don't work really super well on the radio. Scott Bunnell, I don't think we even asked this last year. Where did this whole idea come from, to first in Haiti and then for a domestic kind of program to alleviate hunger among particularly kids?
Just here's my life story.
It all began when I was very young.
I was born in West Virginia, which is true. I did 17 years in the corporate world with Amoco Oil Company. I left that in 1999 and went on staff at a local church here in town as a missions pastor at Northwoods Church, and started traveling the world and seeing poverty. 9/11 happened. I remember sitting with my kids around the fireplace at night just trying to speak words of peace and comfort, but we didn't know if there were more bombs or terrorists. I mean, it was – and so over the course of the next several weeks, I began praying, you know, God, if you would – have me go to the Middle East, put my arms around, you know, some Muslims and tell them I'm your brother, I'm not your enemy, I'll go. God answered that prayer, and 6 months later, I'm in northern Afghanistan as part of a medical relief team, working with the Afghan people. 3 weeks into the month, we have some downtime in clinic one day, and I'm speaking to this Muslim man about, I'm from South Georgia, so here I am in Afghanistan, just totally out of my element. You know, but where are you from, and, you know, what do you do, and do you have a job, do you have kids, do you have a family, you know, what's your life like? And he said, in my village, we're eating grass and we're waiting to die. And my entire world shifted at that very moment, because I knew that was the reality in a lot of the world. But to look at the man, look me in his eyes and say that to me, I just began to cry, put my arm on his shoulder. I prayed for him, you know, in English. And when I got back to the States, I got involved with Second Harvest. I got involved with the Tallahassee Coalition for the Homeless, because I say, now that I've always known, but now that I've been confronted with it, you know, what am I going to do? And so that just began to grow and grow and grow. And I felt a call to kind of step out of corporate ministry and to be more hands-on. And I went to Haiti and worked with a network of people. And we started feeding a few kids. And, again, that's 4,000 a day now through a network of schools. We have 3 orphanages. We have 20 community clean water projects. We've been doing construction since the earthquake with the foundation. And I tell people, come on, my midlife crisis led me to Haiti. And then as that began to grow, I knew that I also had to put much emphasis on my local community. You know, you can't, as the pastor said, you don't plane and fly halfway around the world and do some good and come home. And that's great. Nothing wrong with that. But what are you doing in your own backyard to make an impact? And so I just got involved, you know, in several different aspects here in Tallahassee. And my friend and mentor began this food packing program 12 years ago in Iowa, and then one day the light came on. I said, why am I not doing this in Leon County? I mean, we have the mechanism in place. I just really had that thought about doing that on that large of a scale. And so we had our first event in, I think, 2011 at Godby High School. We did 100,000 meals that day. And that's when Lori first came and kind of saw it and caught the bug. And, you know, here we are today doing our third event.
Well, we've heard references throughout this program to Laurie. That's Laurie Messer. She's back there in the booth right now with our production team, and she's been one of the prime spark plugs of this entire thing. It, really, Laurie, you're the one who kind of got this whole thing organized. I just wanted to let you know that we are well aware of what you're doing back there behind the scenes as she's once again typing maniacally on the computer. Let's go to the phones and check in and see what you have to say. Robin joins us here on Perspectives. Hey, Robin.
Hey there, how are you doing today?
Hey, we're doing well, thanks.
I'm recently retired Associate Dean of Students at FSU, and wanted to let you know that FSU has a food pantry for students. Any student can come in to the Dean of Students office weekdays from 8 to 5 and leave with a sack of food. Students are also really impacted by hunger. We don't think about that very often, but in the summer, financial aid is not as plentiful as in other times of the year, and we have had a huge number of students come to our food pantry. So I wanted to let you know that as well.
Robin, that is really an excellent point, because there's all this great, what many people consider urban myth of the poor, bedraggled college student living on ramen noodles and water. But that is reality for a really surprising number of students, isn't it?
Absolutely, and you'd be amazed at the number of students that use our pantry frequently. And it's easy to use. They just come in with their ID and they can leave with a sack of food. So we're very proud of it.
Well, thank you so much, Robin, for calling in and sharing that. Really do appreciate that. And Rich English, you hear this all the time. Well, you were in that boat, for crying out loud.
Yeah, you know, she's 100% correct. And when you think about hunger in the community, you think about seniors, you think about children and what we call the working poor, those who just don't make enough to make ends meet. And you don't often think about these college students who are there, a lot of them staying there through the summer, and on very limited funds, and they are hungry too, and they run a great program there, and we partner with them. There are some food drives that take place throughout the year that a lot of the food comes to us, and then we channel it back to their food pantry.
Talking about hunger is an apt topic as we head towards lunchtime, but for a lot of folks, lunchtime may not be a happy time, and that's why we're having this discussion on Perspectives today. 414-1234 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. Hey, back on Perspectives. Thanks so much for joining us at the other end of the radio waves and the telephone lines and all of that as we talk about the full summer program and also our mobile food bus that the folks with Whole Child Leon and associated with Second Harvest of the Big Bend and a multitude of other community organizations now recognizing that there is such a pervasive need for food and just basic sustenance for so doggone many people in our communities and what's being done to help there. While we're waiting for Frank to get teed up on the phone, Dr. Bill Scheel, talk a little bit about, again, the outreach of churches, which is not just in the feeding the spirit, but also feeding the body, the corporal part of us.
Well, it's really the holistic mission of Jesus, and that's what you're referring to, is that not only are we there for the mind and the heart, but the body, soul, mind, and spirit. Everyone is called to love their neighbor as themselves, but oftentimes we miss out on the opportunities that are right in front of our eyes. We assume that somebody else is handling that, or we think this is going on somewhere else in another part of the world or in another neighborhood that is not ours, and that surely all of those great community agencies that are supported through United Way, that someone else will take care of it. Until you see a child in your son's classroom who doesn't wear the same clothes, you can tell they haven't had a hot meal in several days, you ask them what they're going to do for the weekend, they bring only candy in their lunchbox, and then you realize that this is closer than you think. And you meet parents and you see grandparents struggling and you realize, wow, this is an opportunity that we can do something about. Now, I will tell you, behind every great pastor and not so great pastor and staff and church are incredibly wonderfully called lay people. And so we are thrilled to partner with St. John's Episcopal, and Laurie Messer is a part of St. John's congregation and parish there. And the really the brains and the energy behind First Baptist Partnership is Becky Liner. And she too is here in the studio, but just not quite behind the microphone. But we would not be at the table without Becky's hard efforts and work to organize, and she's co-chairing this effort as well. And you know, that's what makes it so thrilling to be a part of this, is so many people wanting to be involved in the energy of our community. We as the ministers really just follow those who are part of our churches and congregations right into the work where we believe God is alive and well and working in our community.
But the coolest thing I see is that all of these silos, which are a normal part of, you know, we all look out for our own and we're a little bit tribal and that thing, but these are all evaporating. You have all of these different organizations, all of these different congregations, people of all stripes and from all different parts of the community just saying, hey, we have a problem. Let's get together and solve it.
That's right.
That is the neatest thing to see, because it's so easy to say, well, we'll take care of it. Our organization will be the headquarters. And that doesn't see – I don't see any stratification around this table today or in that control room back there. That is just a whole bunch of people trying to work on a problem and solve it.
Well, I think that's part of the message I think all of us is in the faith community would want people to realize, is when people of good faith partner with folks like Second Harvest and Whole Child Leon and Hope to Haiti, who are really wanting to be people of goodwill, we can do some incredibly good deeds together by working together for the common good. And that's what we're all here to do and to serve. And why not start with the folks who really need it the most? Let's find these great things. And it becomes an incredible teaching moment, I think, for our children. You know, there's just nothing like standing there beside my son in the grocery line and saying, okay, now we've got a quarter here, and if we give a quarter to what Scott is doing here, and we go to the website saint-john.org, and we click on the button, and we can give a quarter, and that's going to feed a meal to a child that is in our classroom. There's nothing more tangible than that, and every child has change in their piggy banks and ways that they can go, and parents can use this, and grandparents and others, to teach this as a teachable moment, to say, while we're sitting here ordering pizza and drinking Cokes and having a great time, we also can be giving back and sharing in powerful ways.
Who says school's out for the summer? Let's go to the lines again. Frank awaits. Hey, Frank.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I first want to thank everyone for their efforts. I think it's desperately needed. But I would also like to have people look at the need for social economic policies that would make this totally unnecessary. While people who are hungry and poor are grateful for these contributions, if our social policies, economic policies, and political policies were different, we would not have people who have been placed in this situation. This is not an accident that these people are in these situations. And it is not really ultimately a solution to feed a hungry person in a day. The ultimate solution is to provide the policies that allows that person to feed their own family.
Good point made, Frank. We'll kind of take that up around the table and see. Courtney, any reaction to that?
That's a tough one, and Whole Child's working towards policy change all the time with partners, especially around childhood obesity and initiatives like that. When you're talking about poverty and economic stability, that is such the common denominator here, and the threat of a lot of issues for families that are at risk. It's a slow process, but it does take partnerships. It takes agencies, hopefully like Whole Child and others, to be out there in the trenches to help identify those needs and how can we put people together to put enough pressure on those decision makers to make the changes. But it's slow. It's frustrating. And in the meantime, you know, we have to address the needs and get kids fed and get kids what they need.
Yeah, Scott Bennett, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that many factors have led to where we are, but with the point of what do you do? When I first went to Haiti in 2007 and learned 50,000 children will die every year because of lack of clean water and food, 700 miles from Miami, halfway around the world. It's an hour and 40-minute plane ride from Miami, and I'm confronted with that. Well, there's certainly things we can do, but we can at least start feeding the kids. We know we could do that, so we started feeding kids. And we don't consider Hope to Haiti a charity. I don't really like that word because we empower and equip and encourage and release people. We have different micro enterprises we have in place, construction projects in place, all Haitian run, overseen, et cetera, et cetera. But you have to feed the kids. That's kind of our domestic effort with the Hope to the Hungry. You know, you're confronted with children in need, and you have a solution. It may not be the best solution. It may not be a permanent solution, but for this day, for this hour, for this month, you can provide food or medical care, whatever that is for that child. Then I just think you have a moral imperative that you have to. And that's kind of how I see it. You don't have to get behind our efforts in Haiti or even this local effort with Second Harvest, but you can. You know, you can. There's that opportunity. If you're bothered by that, you know, seeing poverty and injustice and things, and that's such a huge issue, well, what can I personally do? I can come out for an hour and a half on June 7th and pack a couple hundred thousand meals, you know? It's a piece of cake. I'll tell you, and we make it a piece of cake on purpose. We'll have a DJ there pumping music, and it's a very social event. It's a very fun event. And, you know, you spend an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes, and you turn around, there's a wall of food in boxes, already boxed on pallets, ready for Second Harvest to take back to the warehouse. You're talking about a sense of accomplishment. And not a lot of effort, and certainly not a lot of sweat. It's a social event. So again, that doesn't address the major issue that the caller called in about. But here's something you can do about that. In the meantime, as the politicians and those in the powers that be figure out how to make the world better, if that's their goal. But you know, what are we going to do in our community? I'm going to feed every kid I can, every chance I get, because I can.
Okay. Oh, Rich English, you see this. It must be like, you know, you remember the old Greek thing, Sisyphus and the boulder. You know, you're pushing it up the top, and man, you got it knocked. Boom, down it comes, and you start all over again. And that's kind of what Second Harvest, the Big Ben, does every single day, is push that boulder out of there.
Yes. You know, Frank is right when he said there are underlying issues out there that need to be addressed. And I've often said that if my leadership board called me in and told me that they were letting me go, that we were closing the food bank because there was not a need for the food bank, I'd be perfectly fine with that. And there are underlying issues, but going back to what Scott just mentioned, you know, our job right now is we have to feed people. And until these other things get fixed, we have to do what we have to do, and who else is going to do it?
Okay. And I see, a nod over there, Rachel, on your side. So.
Well, I'm agreeing with what Rich is saying and what Scott said as well. Is while everything is being worked out, as Scott mentioned, the powers that be, I mean, we're still out there seeing these children that are hungry and are in need. And even with the backpack program, too, that we do, we survey the teachers and the parents and the kids at the end of the year, and they continue to say what a difference it makes. And it's really, you know, it's not much. It's a bag of food for the weekend. So we know that little bag of food is making such a big difference in their lives right now, where it's so important that they're able to focus at school and so they can get educated and can go on to lead high quality lives.
Okay. And Dr. Bill Scheel, was Jesus kind of being a fatalist when he said, you know, the poor will always be with you?
I think he was announcing a realistic issue in his own world and then saying and implying, so you are always going to have them not only as someone whom you can serve, but also to give your life a chance so the poor can serve you. You know, the hungry challenge us as much as we have a chance to serve them. And every time I'm around a hungry person, I'm reminded of really these are the folks who are very close to the kingdom of God because they are dependent, they're needy, but also they have so much to teach us, we who have so much and complain about the things of our lives that are really just wants instead of needs. They actually draw us into the things that are so important in our lives that we need to be focused on. Now, that doesn't give us an excuse to simply sit by and wipe our hands of it and say, well, that's always going to be the way life is. But we are constantly called to bring in the kingdom and to share to those who are really the neediest folks and to help. So I think you're exactly right. It takes good policy and good advocacy, and it takes people with feet and with faith to go to work and do some good. And by the way, I'll just confess to you, I think sometimes the people of faith are the powers that be. And so we need to be educated, and we need to be activated, and we need to be mobilized. Well, I'm going to tell you, a full summer in 2 hours, you can mobilize some people who may normally just kind of sit back in the pew and say, hey, hope someone else is doing something about it. Well, now this is a great educational opportunity. And even if you don't need to volunteer on Saturday, June 7th, you can give and let your finances and your resources go on your behalf and to share and help us all make a difference with these incredible organizations that are around this table today.
Is it too much of a stretch to say this is sort of like reinventing society from the bottom up instead of waiting for something to happen from the top down?
Absolutely. I feel I'm a good team player, but I play pretty good alone and can get things done, you know, on my own. That's what kind of led me to Haiti and had this great opportunity. I've got a board of directors, board of trustees that oversee, but we really, when we see a need, we look, can we address this need at this time, if it's a water need or if it's a housing need or if it's a food need or, you know, water filtration, and then we just grab it and take it and do it. Don't have a lot of meetings about should we, because we know we should. Well, if you know you should and you have the ability to that point it's will you? That's the ultimate question. You know, will you? You can, will you? And so that's kind of how we run our things. That's the church's message. You know, the need. You see the neighbor or the marriage or the family, and you can intercede in some way to help. Well, the question is not, you know, should you? It's will you? And I think when we start developing that, yes, I will, I'll take a step toward this. Not really understanding, because grace is messy, and helping poverty and being in those circles are messy. I mean, it's heartbreaking to get on a bus and roll around and give food to kids. Now, that's very satisfying in the moment. But when you pull back and look at that and go, why are we in a bus traveling these neighborhoods distributing food? This is the United States of America. What has happened? Well, then that's when it gets hard. That leads to the sleepless nights and the tears. But again, there's the joy in the service, and I think it's just a matter of, you know, will you?
But it's also setting an example for policymakers that something can be done, and don't have to wait for a change of administration in Washington or all these sorts, or even in Tallahassee, that something can be done.
Well, and, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles takes the first step. Well, I see this kind of thing as a frontline sort of first step for many people to go in the right direction. It doesn't mean that you're going to change the world, but you're going to take the next step in your life that simply by giving that quarter, by going online, by sharing, by giving, by going. And the great thing about sharing with a group like a Full Summer and working with Hope for the Hungry is you know exactly where those resources are going to go. They're going to stay right here. A child in Leon County is going to eat because of you, and the dollars that are raised are going to stay right here in this community. So what better way than to know, hey, they're a great organization doing wonderful things, sharing together. What better way to spend the spare change that you find in your couches simply by helping and sharing together, and every person can be a part of it.
Just a few moments left to go in the program there. Rachel Mueller, any final thoughts from you today?
Well, I think it's important, too, to thank our other community partners that helped make Food on the Move possible. Of course, Whole Child Leon has been wonderful, and we've had Florida Impact help us along the way. Leon County Schools actually donated the bus. The Foundation for Leon County Schools has opened a lot of doors for us, and Super Lube is going to help us take care of the bus.
Nice.
And City of Tallahassee, I think I said already, through the CHAMPS grant. So we are so thankful and so excited to get the bus on the road, and I imagine it's just the first of many.
Well, you got a bus, and Rich English, you got a bunch of trucks now, too.
Yeah, we added our first tractor trailer. Thank you to Winn-Dixie for that. We're able to move up to 32,000 pounds of food at a time now. Yeah. We're using that for our mobile pantry program.
Good Lord, that just – but the need goes on, and it is – again, to reiterate that message, if forget the canned goods, guys. That's wonderful, and it's always appreciated, but you know, a couple bucks really goes a lot further than a few old cans of beans.
You're right. We can make that go so much farther. And, Tom, just to reiterate, currently in Florida, we have 3.5 million people. 1.1 million of those are children who are considered food insecure. And food insecurity is the USDA's measure of lack of access at times to enough food for an active, healthy life. These folks are often tasked with choosing between paying for rent, utilities, health care, medications, and purchasing food.
Well, and those stats just overwhelm, but I think everyone has been saying, one person, just help one person. Everybody can do that. You know, so don't look at the millions and just, okay,
exactly.
That kid right there, him or her. That's Scott, we'll be seeing you out there at the full summer thing coming up Saturday a week at Lincoln.
Yes, I'm excited.
Okay, and we'll be seeing you on the bus occasionally, right, Courtney?
You bet. I'm excited. I'm going to be on the first day. I just want to remind our listeners, if you have access to gently used books or you want to provide some toiletries, please contact Whole Child Leon.
And that's Courtney Atkins, also Rachel Muller and Rich English, Scott Bunnell, and Dr. Bill Shield. Thank you all for coming on today, and have a full summer, y'all.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Taylor Cox and Lido Rawls helping out today. We will be talking about fostering a more peaceful approach to solving problems both near and far next week on Perspectives. Hope you can join us then.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.